Hello, I'm Robert Arneson of The Western Producer, and this is the first Between the Rows of 2022. For years, organic farming was quite profitable in Canada, as growers received prices that were two or three times higher than conventional crops. But right now, prices for conventional canola, oats, spring wheat, and other crops are either at record highs or near records. As a result, 2022 could be a difficult year for the organic sector, as some prairie farmers have already left organic or could be leaving soon. But first up on the show, we'll focus on the crops that could be very profitable in 2022 for conventional farmers in Western Canada. Every year, Manitoba Agriculture publishes cost of production data, estimating the cost and potential profits for 17 different crops. As of early January, the data shows that oats look very promising and could produce a return on investment of $150 per acre. Joining us now to break down the cost of potential returns is Ed White, a reporter with The Western Producer in Manitoba. But before we get to Ed, let's first hear a word from our sponsor.
I've been farming my whole life, and the one thing you can always count on is change. And now there's a new generation of inoculants from Lalemann Plant Care. New engineered granules in Lalfix Spherical for pulses and soybeans that provide improved handling and accurate metering. New Rhizobium and Lalfix Pro Yield that deliver improved nitrogen fixation and iron uptake in soybeans. I've seen a lot of change, but this Lalemann company, well, this changes everything. Contact your Lalemann sales representative today.
Now, let's get back to Ed White, who joined me from his home in Winnipeg. Hey Ed, thanks for coming on Between the Rows. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So every year, Manitoba Agriculture comes out with these cost of production estimates, looking at, I think, about 17 different crops and what it's going to cost farmers to grow those crops and also the potential return on investment. Is it your sense that these estimates represent conditions right across the prairies?
No, not at all. These are for Manitoba. They're specific to Manitoba, and they will not apply in their details to the kind of crops results you might get in Saskatchewan, Alberta, or, you know, BC. So really looking at these is probably best for people outside those zones. This is very good work done by these folks at Manitoba Agriculture's Farm Management Branch, but it's best to kind of look at the way that they calculate these kind of likely returns, and then maybe factor in your own numbers to that if you're out of the province. And even within the province, there's quite different returns from east to west in this province and by your own farm and your own conditions. So I think this is really good as a best guess for Manitoba based on today's assumptions. And it's really a good template for maybe how to think your own likely results out if you want to do that. Take their way of approaching it and then put in your own estimates.
So just to confirm, the way this is done is that the folks of Manitoba Agriculture, they look at what would be the average yield for, say, a crop like spring wheat, look at what the price will likely be in 2022 that farmers would get for that crop. That gives you your gross, that gives you your gross income. And then they also look at the cost of production from things like, obviously, fertilizer, seed costs, pesticide, labor, and so forth. And then that gives you your potential return on and growing a certain crop. Is that how it works?
Yeah, like, and they also break it out differently between operating costs, and then they add fixed costs to it. So you can look at both just the operating costs, which are like your cash costs, things you're actually having to pay out. And then they also add on after that land, machinery, storage, and even a labor component per acre. So you can work out what you actually, you know, long term are paying to produce a crop like this. And then they take an estimate of what the likely price will be for the new crop. And that's based on forward prices, you know, today, looking at next fall. You know, then coming up with marginal return estimations for both over operating costs and then over total costs.
Okay. Let's talk about which crops look like winners in 2022. There's a lot of, I guess, interest right now in oats. Is that a crop that looks really promising for growers in Manitoba and possibly outside of Manitoba?
Yeah, like based on the numbers and the assumptions today, oats looks like the big crops, the crops with significant acreage. Oats is, number one. Canola's up there, which probably won't surprise anyone, but that's, since that's such a moneymaker for farmers, that's probably a happy thing that canola still right now looks really good. Kind of in the middle of corn is up there, two not looking, too bad. In the middle of the pack is kind of, hard red spring wheat, which is, another one of our mainstay crops. And, at the bottom, you've got things like barley, which really don't seem very happy.
Okay. Okay.
That's sort of, way down there in the dumps. So.
Right. So one thing that you found out is that you spoke with Darren Bond, who is a Manitoba agriculture, I guess, what does he call it? Called himself a farm management expert, or what's his title exactly?
I believe it's farm management specialist.
Yeah, so Darren is one of the people who worked on these estimates and developed these numbers, and he told you something interesting, and we're going to listen to that right now, okay?
Sounds good.
The one thing that we're seeing, and what we're really seeing with our cost of production guides, is that while we've seen a run-up in price for the grain, and while we've seen a run-up in inputs, there still appears to be some profitability here. However, the thing is risk. And now it's going to take much more money to grow the crop. And in some cases, we're looking at a similar margin as compared to previous years. So we are spending more money to make the same margin in some cases that reflects in risk, and there's going to be a lot more risk this coming year, just with the amount of dollars that are on the table for both costing and revenue.
So what Darren was saying there is that obviously farmers are going to be putting out, on an individual farm, either hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to grow their crops, and that could be like significantly higher than previous years. So the risk here is a huge factor, and it could affect some decision making on farm. Like, how do you see this playing out?
Well, that's going to be interesting to see how farmers manage this, because not only do they have to take on much more financial exposure, but they're doing it in the light of very bad subsoil moisture in most areas. So there's still a drought risk if we don't get sufficient rain in the spring and early summer. And the price volatility has been pretty wild. The prices today are not what people were expecting a year ago or, even 6 months ago. It's hard to say, given another 8 months, where prices are going to be. And most farmers won't have everything priced out by next fall, even if they pre-price some, which some farmers don't even do that. But even those farmers who do price a fair bit of their crop, there's still going to be a lot unpriced and unhedged. So, there's going to be a lot of money spent in putting in this crop. And that money is going to be, depending on what it nets on the other side of harvest, will depend a lot on price, and then of course, mostly on the what happens with this drought and whether we get what you would call a normal summer.
Yeah. So given those combination of risks, the risk that fertilizer prices could go up further in the next couple months, and the risk that we may not get spring rains, I guess there's a lot of things going on inside farmers' heads right now saying, I wonder if it's actually worthwhile growing canola because the input costs are high, or maybe I should grow canola because it's a familiar crop and I know how to grow it, and therefore that's maybe a safer bet for me. So there's a lot of things going on here in terms of like folks figuring out,
where should I be? How much risk am I willing to take on financially to grow certain crops, right?
Well, and here's what's interesting is a crop we haven't spoken of, and I should have mentioned before, but soybeans, you know, which have been sort of everybody's darling in Manitoba until a couple of years ago. And then some poor results have spoiled what was a surging acreage base for soybeans. And say this year, you know, the production costs for soybeans are relatively very low compared to everything else, mostly because of the, you know, you don't need as much fertilizer. And things like canola and corn have substantially higher costs of production. Yet the canola and corn look to be, you know, under most reasonable assumptions, getting you a lot more money per acre. Whereas soybeans, because of the relatively low bushels per acre, do not seem, you know, even with that low cost of production, they seem, you know, one of the most unpromising crops out there with, you know, barely any profitability over your total costs and, you know, over operating costs. They still don't look great. So, you know, there you go. Do you go with, you know, relatively low input crop or low investment crop like soybeans, but with a poor outlook, or do you sort of roll the dice on spending the money on those crops like canola or corn and hope you get a crop and hope you can price it at the right place?
So given what we just talked about and these different factors in the marketplace, what's your best guess as, pardon me, what's your best guess as to which crops will see an acreage boom in Western Canada this year? What's your gut telling you?
Well, you know, Western Canada, I wouldn't guess because this is just Manitoba numbers. But I mean, I don't know, when you've got questionable growing conditions because of the soil moisture, would you tend to stick with those mainstay crops that you grow well, they're in your rotation, so you don't have to change much from your rotation? I mean, when you've got corn and oats and, you know, even spring wheat all looking good by this, you know, why wouldn't you stick with those? It's, I guess, those ones like barley and soybeans. You know, barley's been a fading mainstay for lots of people, but it's really faded a lot in recent years. You know, is there some play around that? Is there, you know, I mean, soybeans, I doubt many people will launch a whole bunch of extra new acres this year, based on the outlook. But, you know, things like canola, why would you cut back on canola unless you simply can't afford to grow it? You know, oats doesn't demand the same, you know, investment. That's an easy one. If you're an oats grower, you know, why would you not just keep up with that? Do as much as you can within your rotation. I just think it's a disappointing, you know, outlook for things like soybeans, about which there have been so much hope a few years ago, and around things like peas as well don't look very good. And there's so much talk around that in terms of just market price peas. They also look quite poor. So will that affect the overall base? We've had some new plants come online for peas, but on the other hand, there's probably enough out there to meet their needs, and they contract most of their production, or much of their production anyway. But yeah, it'll be an interesting one because you've got financial risk playing off against likely return.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts on this topic, Ed. I've been speaking with Ed White, a reporter with the Western Producer in Manitoba. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Robert.
Next up on the show, as of late December, organic wheat was selling for $24 per bushel, and organic flax was at $65 per bushel in Western Canada. So, it should be a great time to be an organic farmer. But it's possible that the prairies could see a repeat of what happened around 2010, when hundreds of farmers quit organic production. Here to talk about the state of organic farming in Saskatchewan, and the broader issues in the organic sector, is Marla Carlson, Executive Director of Sask Organics, which represents organic producers across the province. I spoke with Marla just before Christmas.
Let's just go back in time to kind of that late 2000s, early 2010, 2011 period. Commodity prices were high for canola and other crops, and I guess some organic farmers made the decision to go back to conventional. Do you remember that time, and what was that period like for the organic sector?
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely remember that time, and I think, you know, part of it was high prices, you know, in the conventional market, and then also we were, you know, coming off of the end of a, you know, a financial crisis, or, you know, global financial crisis. So I think those two things together, you know, made it harder for some farmers to stay in organic production, especially those who hadn't been doing it for very long and may have, you know, come in to the market, you know, expecting, you know, the premiums to be, you know, as they were when they were transitioning. So, you know, I think that definitely, you know, there's always the, I think with organic production, the pull and the push, right? Or the push and the pull, depending on which side of the equation, you know, you're looking at. So I always think it's a multiple, you know, there's multiple factors that help farmers or, you know, result in farmers making the decision to leave organic production. But there definitely was a decline in numbers in the province.
Right. So there's no doubt then that price and the price differential between organic crops and organic commodities and conventional is a factor in play when it comes to the number of producers that are entering or leaving organic. That's definitely a factor.
I would say, you know, it is a factor. You know, some of that or a lot of that price premium is required, you know, for organic production because of, you know, the lower yields, although, you know, we're getting a little bit of research now that's showing that yield gap is closing between organic and conventional for some crops, but there's still definitely a yield gap. So, you know, you need to be paid more, you know, per bushel if you're going to have fewer of them to make the farm profitable and resilient. So for sure.
So right now on my laptop, I'm looking at the organic price quotes that are listed on organicbiz.ca, and I'm seeing that, for example, for hard red spring wheat, the premium for organic is about 200%, and then for something like oats, milling oats, it's about 150%. So those premiums are smaller than they were a few years ago, correct?
Yes. Yeah, they are definitely smaller, you know, smaller than they have been. I mean, I think price, obviously, you know, the differential is important, but I also think, you know, factoring in your cost of production, right? So what is actually your net profit on the farm per acre? And I mean, I haven't seen any numbers recently, but you know, what I don't follow the conventional market obviously as closely as I do the organic market, but you know, there's some pretty also, you know, high input costs and seed costs and uncertainty that I think are, you know, having some upward pressure on price potentially for conventional acres or for conventional farmers. So, you know, it's not the same in the organic sector. So, you know, I think that prices are one aspect of it and they're an important part of it. But then also looking at, like I was saying, your cost of production and what you're ending up, you know, kind of in your pocket at the end of the year, net profit. I like I said, I haven't seen the numbers yet, but in the past, that number has been higher per acre for organic production than conventional.
Okay. So what are you hearing from organic growers, organic farmers in Saskatchewan right now? Are they doing okay financially after the drought of 2021? Are there some people who are in difficult straits? Like, what's your sense of the situation across the board?
Yeah, I mean, anecdotally, I mean, the drought has impacted, you know, organic farmers like it has conventional farmers. And then there's those, you know, weird, you know, strips that seem to run through where folks did get the moisture when they needed it. So there's definitely, you know, variability, but the drought has impacted organic farmers for sure. Just in in terms of yield for sure, and some folks didn't get a crop this year, so that will, you know, obviously that isn't good for organic farmers. So it definitely has had an impact.
Okay, and are you having any sense or feeling that we might see a repeat of what happened in that kind of late 2000s, early 2010 periods, that there's some folks that might exit the business, or what's your sense of that?
Yeah, I think farming is in cycles, but I do think that we will see, my hope is, or, you know, I don't see necessarily any indication that we'll have as dramatic a drop as we did in that 8, 9, 10 period, but there will be, anecdotally, again, because I don't have my data yet for this year, but the numbers and acres will have dropped some. You know, some of that will be retirement, but some of that will also be, continuing to farm, but not organically. So,
are you talking about Saskatchewan now or prairie wide?
I know Saskatchewan best. So yeah, Saskatchewan. That's what I'm referring to, in Saskatchewan.
Okay, so possibly a small drop in numbers, but maybe not significant or substantial.
I would say not as, my hope is that it won't be as significant as that 8, 9, 10 period where we had, we've basically been building back since that period in terms of numbers and acres in the province. So, there's a bit of, we had a 5-year stretch where we were increasing in numbers and acres, and then we plateaued a little bit and, actually last in our 2019 data, we had a small decrease in producers and acres. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, as you say, things always go in cycles. This could be, when we don't know what's going to happen with commodity prices come next fall, we could be having a very different conversation. So it's really hard to know where this is headed.
I would agree with that. And the weather this summer for all farmers is going to, really be, significant. Because for some, this might be the first year that they've been experiencing, the low moisture, but, for some farmers and especially in the southern parts of the province, this is year 3, 4. So to go with insufficient moisture for another season would definitely not be good for organic farmers, as their conventional neighbors. So yeah, it is definitely a wait and see and hope for some better weather conditions this summer.
All right. Well, thanks, Marla.
You've been listening to Marla Carlson, Executive Director of Sask Organics. Well, that wraps up this week's show. I'm Robert Arneson of The Western Producer. Thanks for listening.
I've been farming my whole life, and the one thing you can always count on is change. And now there's a new generation of inoculants from Lalemann Plant Care. New engineered granules in Lalfix Spherical for pulses and soybeans that provide improved handling and accurate metering. New Rhizobium and Lalfix Pro Yield that deliver improved nitrogen fixation and iron uptake in soybeans. I've seen a lot of change, but this Lalemann company, well, this changes everything. Contact your Lalemann sales representative today.